Amen. Hallelujah. I've got some food for thought tonight. First of all, food for thought. The wisdom of God teaches us that we can minimize worry by assimilating two key virtues: kindness and truth. The word kindness is one of the most theologically important words in the Hebrew culture. The term chesed is variously translated mercy, loving kindness, grace, and loyalty. It describes the unrelating, unexplainable, overwhelming grace of God for his covenant people. The Hebrew term rendered truth conveys the idea of firmness or assurance. This isn't about truth as knowledge, but truth as a way of relating relational integrity. When truth is part of your character, you speak truly, you honor your commitments, and you uphold others who are true. When kindness and truth becomes a natural part of our interactions with others, favor and a good reputation becomes our reward. These will go a long ways in preventing us from worry. Amen? Kindness and truth. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. He is so faithful. Amen. Let's look tonight at Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Hallelujah. All right. Brother, what do you want to read that, please, sir?
Pride goes before destruction, and not the spirit before the fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Amen. Let's talk to the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. For your word is true. Your word is forever settled in heaven, Lord. So God, help us to look to thee, to stand on your word, to obey your voice. Have your way tonight, Lord God. Speak through these lips of clay. Just let your divine will be done. God, hallelujah. Let me speak only truth, God. And thank you for the victory, Father, in Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Amen. We're going to talk about pride tonight. Pride. Pride is too high opinion of oneself. A proud person is so preoccupied with him or herself that he or she doesn't notice what others do and has no desire to compliment them. A proud person. Amen. Talking about pride. The Bible said Jesus himself humbled himself, didn't he? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Amen. If the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, we're going to look at a king tonight by the name of Uzziah. A man that God blessed. Let's see what happened to him here. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles Chapter 26. Let's look at Uzziah, King Uzziah. Hallelujah. See, God is good. He's good, isn't it? But hallelujah. Lots of time some people just can't. God can't bless some people and they do right. How many of them I'm talking about? Some people, you know, they get the big head, you know, and they stick their chest out. That's the reason why God humbled Paul by giving him giving him a thorn in the flesh. Amen. That was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Amen. Didn't he say? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Hallelujah. Chronicles 26, 2 Chronicles 26. And we'll start reading at I'm going to start reading at verse 11. I'm going to read this, Brother Willie. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their count by the hand of Joel, the scribe. And Messiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host, shields and spears and hamlets and habergeons, and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Listen to this now. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Isn't that something? Some people, God just cannot bless them, and they do right. God wants us to do right. God wants us to humble ourselves. How does he think he was being so successful? It had to be God. It had to be the Lord. But the devil cheated him. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Listen to this, what he did now. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He was definitely doing wrong. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, strong men. Hallelujah. They wasn't afraid to stand for truth. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. He got angry because they told the truth. He was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Uzziah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Amen. See what happened to him? God blessed him, but he got the big head. He couldn't handle it. In other words, he was saying, well, I'm the king. I can do what I want to do. You can't do what you want to do. Amen. God have order, doesn't he? You better believe he does. God is an orderly God. You just can't jump up and do anything you want to do. So he went into the house of the Lord. He said, never, I'm the king. I'm going to offer incense on God's altar. Hallelujah. And God put leprosy in his forehead for being disobedient. God is faithful. Pride will kill you. You better believe it will. Pride. Hallelujah. God, the Bible says, humble yourself at the mighty hand of God, and he will do what? Exalt you in due time. Let God do the exalting. Amen. Amen. It's not for me to say, well, some people are hung up on titles today. Isn't that right? My, they're hung up. I'm Bishop so-and-so. Well, nothing wrong with being a bishop now. I mean, the Bible says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires the good work. Isn't that right? He must be blameless, a husband of one wife. It gives us qualification. Amen. But you don't have to go throwing that title around, do you? You don't have to go. If you're a bishop, just do the work of a bishop. If you're an apostle, some people run out and say, I'm an apostle. Well, you don't have to tell everybody you're an apostle. Prove it by doing the works of an apostle. Isn't that right? Or bishop, apostle, teacher, whatever. Do the works, and it'll prove. Bible say, a man's works will, hallelujah, make room for him. A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Just do God's will. Whatever God has called you to do, do that with all your heart. Amen. Amen? Amen? And let God do the exalting. Let people look at you and say, well, you're doing a good job. Well, that's fine if you're doing a good job. Isn't that right? But don't you stick, hallelujah, don't you stick feathers in your hat. Don't you go around boasting about yourself. Like Uzziah, he couldn't handle God's blessings. A lot of people are that way. They can't handle the blessings of God. So he exalted himself, and God caused leprosy to come upon him. That's another man we can think about. Remember Haman? Haman. God had blessed Haman, but Haman hated the Jews. He wanted to get rid of the Jews. And it was a man by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew. And Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. And Haman just wouldn't let well enough alone. Every time he would see Haman, he wanted Haman to bow down to him. But Haman loved God. Haman served God. Haman believed God. And Haman would not bow down. Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. I get it right here. Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. But Haman said, oh, yes, you are. You go bow down to me. But he wouldn't do it because he loved God. Mordecai was a man that loved God. And so Haman concocted up some lies, went to the king, and he had it all set up to destroy the Jewish people, didn't he? Had set up a day to destroy God's people. But Queen Esther, hallelujah, Queen Esther, God had put Esther right in there for that time, didn't he? Amen. See, God knows what he's doing. God's timing is right. If we'll follow him and wait on him and obey him, things will come out right for us. Amen? Amen? We don't want to run ahead of God. Anytime you run ahead of God, you get in trouble with God. Amen? So pride. It was a difference between King Saul and David. Isn't that right? King Saul was a man that he was humble at first, and God blessed him and made him king over Israel. And King Saul, it broke God's heart. It broke God's heart for Israel to have a king. How many of y'all know that? God did not intend for his people to have a king. God was in charge, and God wanted a theocracy. A theocracy is where God calls the shots. Amen. They said, no, we want a king. They told Samuel, we want a king. And Samuel went to the Lord. And Samuel was distraught. He was upset. You know what God told him? So they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. Isn't that right? Give them a king. And they chose King Saul. King Saul was, he was tall over all the people. You see his head and shoulders. He was taller than the other people. And God let Samuel make him king over Israel. And for a while, he did pretty good for a while. Hallelujah. And then, when he became king, the second year he was king, he chose 3,000 men. And they were in this particular place. Saul, he had 3,000 men. Saul had 2,000 other men, and Jonathan had 1,000. They were in different places. Saul was in Michmash, and Jonathan was in another place with 1,000 men. But now, the Philistines, listen, the Philistines had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And they had men, they had so many people, it was like the sand by the seashore. They had that many people. And here Saul was, and this 3,000, they had these 3,000 men. But see, God is faithful. Isn't that right? God will bring you out if you'll trust him. And Samuel had told Saul, said, you wait 7 days, and I'll be back. I'll tell you what to do. And when Samuel didn't return exactly on the seventh day, Saul got upset. And he told some of the people, so bring me a peace offering and a burnt offering. Isn't that something? Amen. Exalting himself. The prophet hadn't come back. Bring me a peace offering. Bring me a burnt offering. And they brought him a peace offering and a burnt offering. And he burned an offering. He did a burnt offering right there. And as soon as he got through, Samuel came in. Samuel said, what have you done? You know what he said? I forced myself. Isn't that something? I forced myself. Let's see if we can read that. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. He said, I forced myself. Hallelujah. Devil deceived him. He said, I forced myself to, hallelujah. 1 Samuel 13, verse 11. See, because the people of Israel, they saw all these people coming up against them. They began to hide themselves. They hid themselves in thickets and in caves and in rocks and in pits. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 1 Samuel 13, begin at verse 9. 1 Samuel 13, verse 9. What have you done?
And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the gates appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash.
Yes.
Therefore said I, the Philistines have come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord.
I forced myself, therefore, to offer a burnt offering. Isn't that something? I forced myself. And Samuel said, well, you've done foolishly. This you shouldn't have done. Amen? But God blessed them and delivered them from that situation. See, God's got a way. When God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Isn't that right? God delivered them out of that situation. And then God spoke to Samuel and told him to go to Saul. Listen to this now. He said, go to Saul. And tell him, I remember Amalek. So when my people came out of Egypt, Amalek laid in wait for them. Isn't that right? They laid in wait for them. And so, Lord, want you to go in there and kill out everything. So Saul took so many men and went in there and killed up a lot of them. People killed them up. But they kept the best of the sheep, the oxen. They kept the best they said to sacrifice to God. But God said, get rid of everything. Isn't that right? God didn't mean what he said. But they kept this back, held it back. And they also kept King Agag. They kept the king alive. And when Samuel came, Saul said, I've done the will of God. He said, well, if you've done the will of God, where is all this bleeding? How do I hear all this bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen in my ears if you've done God's will? And he began to make excuses. Well, the people, hallelujah, isn't there something? He couldn't stand up. Hallelujah. He was just as, he was jellyfished. Jellyfish don't have a backbone. Isn't that right? So he couldn't stand for truth. So therefore, God rejected him from being king. See, God give us chances, but we have to obey God in order to please him. God gave him chance after chance after chance. But then God rejected Saul from being king of Israel because of his hard-headedness, because of his stiff-neckedness, because of his pride. And God haven't changed. Isn't that right? God wants you and me to humble ourselves. Isn't that right? And God bless. You know, money is something that's not too many people can handle money today. I'm talking about a lot of money. Although the Bible say wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth the life to them that have it. Isn't that right? So we need the wisdom of God, don't we? And if we have the wisdom of God, we'll walk worthy of God. I'm talking about Christian people. Isn't that right? We won't just run out. See, some people get money, they just go and buy. There's a lot of stuff they don't need. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. But if we got the wisdom of God and the love of God, if we love God. See, the word of God say, what is the first and great commandment somebody asked Jesus? You know what he said to him? Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like namely unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Isn't that right? Amen. To love God first and to love one another. And my brother was talking about the love tonight. We need to love God with all that's in us. Isn't that right? Put him first in our lives. Every day, put God first. Every day, we need to pray and talk to God. Every day, we need to get in the word of God. You know why? We want to please God. If you want to please God. Amen. You know, the devil will have you just sitting around all day. If you're not working, if you let him. Sitting around just doing nothing. Before you know it, 4 o'clock. What have you done? Nothing constructive. My God. The word of God tells us concern our time. Hallelujah. We have, hallelujah, 24 hours in a day, isn't that right? And God wants us to redeem our time. What does it mean to redeem your time? To buy up your time. Redeem your time. In other words, use your time wisely. Isn't that right? That's what God wants us to do. He don't want us just moping around, doing nothing. Hallelujah. We need to read the word of God and pray and seek God and follow the Lord. God will lead us daily if we let him. And he want to lead us daily. But we got to let him. Amen. God don't beat nobody over the head and make them. But thank God, if you'll humble yourself at his mighty hand, he'll definitely use you, won't he? Amen. Like David. David humbled himself, didn't he? But David had to run for his life from King Saul because Saul was jealous of David. Isn't this something? He was jealous. Saul didn't do right, but why was he jealous of David? Well, it was the devil. Amen. You better believe it. In the time God anointed David from the time that Samuel poured the oil on David's head, anointed him as king, Amen. God anointed David from that point. Amen. He was anointed of God from that point. But David had to wait. See, he had to wait, didn't that right? He waited on the Lord. He waited until God lifted him up. You can't. If you do it yourself, you get in a mess. Like Moses. Remember Moses tried to do something too quick? But hallelujah. David waited on the Lord. He had to run for his life. Hallelujah. Saul became wicked, didn't he? Because on one occasion, David was running from Saul, and he went to this certain place, and it was a priest there. And he asked, all he had was showbread there, but he gave it to David and to David for his men. Amen. He gave it to him. That's all he had. And he gave David the sword of Goliath, which was there. And then David left. You know what? But see, the devil is devil be lurking around. One of Saul's men was there and found out what had happened and went back and told Saul. And Saul came back and he had all those priests killed. Isn't that sad? It's showing just how when the devil, when you turn from God, the devil's right there to get you. Isn't that right? When you turn away from God, don't you think you're going to just float around? No, you're not. You turn your back on God, the devil is right there to use you. Hallelujah. So that's the reason why we need to walk close to the Lord, closer than we ever have. The Bible said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Isn't that right? Draw close to God, God will draw close to you. But thank God, you've got to have the mind of Christ. But the Bible said, but we have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, that means you'll think good thoughts. Isn't that right? The devil will come in and try to mess you up, foul you up. But hallelujah. The Bible says what the word of God say. We can resist the devil. Isn't that right? Draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee from you. He'll run as in panic. Hallelujah. And God is faithful. God wants us to lift the standard of truth, to stand firm on the word of God. Deny ourselves. Jesus, this is what Jesus said. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. Isn't that right? First, you got to say no to self and yes to God. Deny yourself. And then do what? Take up your cross and follow me. That's a daily walk. It's living for the Lord each day. Praying each day. So God, what would you have me to do today? Hallelujah. And God will lead us, won't he? If we let him. I remember when we was on the field ministering, one time we was in a little, in Carolina, a little place called Pittsboro, North Carolina, Pittsboro, a little small town. It was a pit, all right. I mean, and I needed an automobile. So one morning I just got up and began to pray. And God brought this Chapel Hill. He brought that before me. It was pretty close to Chapel Hill. We was living pretty close to it. He brought Chapel Hill before me. So I didn't have no ride. I hitchhiked in the Chapel Hill. Got to Chapel Hill. I got on the phone and began to call some ministers and was telling them my situation. And one minister said, Brother Taylor, where are you? I told him, he said, I'm going to come pick you up. I'm going to take you to a prayer meeting, a meeting. And he took me to this meeting. And I got there and I testified. See, God is good. The testimony of the Lord is sure making wise. I testified. And while I was testifying, when I got through, the lady said, while you was testifying, the Lord told me to give you $1,000. So I was able to buy a car. See, God will meet our needs. See, if you walk in humility, if you be humble before God, you don't stick your chest out and exalt yourself and say, no, I got this. No, you ain't got nothing. See, whatever God put in our hand, it belonged to God. That's what we need to realize. Isn't that right? It all belonged to him. Hallelujah. And the sooner we realize it's all God's, and we don't grab hold of nothing and hold it so tight that God has to pry our hand open, he can do it, can't he? Can he do it? And I tell you, he pry your head on, it's going to hurt. Amen. So that's the reason why we need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And mean that. See, Jesus himself humbled himself. didn't he? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, and great drops of sweat like blood ran down. Hallelujah. And Jesus was saying to his Father, "Well, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, hallelujah." He wanted the Lord to work it out. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done." See how he humbled himself? Not mine will, but thine will be done. So that's what we've got to say today. Lord, not mine will be done. But we got to mean it. Amen. Because the Lord want to use us. And we're having some great services here. Great service this morning. God spoke this morning. But we need to take heed to what he's saying. Because if we don't, it's just about like pouring water on a duck's back. Amen. Isn't that right? It'll run right out. But we got to open our hearts and reach out to the Lord. If we open our hearts and reach out to the Lord, there's no limit to what God will do in us and through us. Amen. If we open our hearts and reach out to him. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to open our hearts and reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Pride. Hallelujah. I've got something. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Listen at this now. Pride, a condition of the heart that craves attention and loves to take the center stage. Amen? It really does. Pride is number one on God's hit list. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. "To these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him." And the first one on the list is what? A proud look. Amen. The first one on the list is a proud look. Then it goes lying tongue and so forth and so on. But the first one is a proud look. God hates pride, doesn't he? He really hates pride. A proud look. Lying tongue. But we're talking about pride tonight. Amen. Listen to this. Pride prevents us from enjoying the blessings of God. Pride erects a wall around our emotions which keep us from sensing God's presence. Amen. But if your heart is full of praise to God for what he's done for you and what he's doing for you, amen, then we'll humble ourselves, won't we? Amen. None of us deserves his love, grace, and goodness. But he has chosen to bless us in abundance and provide for the needs that we have. Isn't that right? Jesus said, "I never leave nor forsake you." Amen. As pride increases, resistance to sin decreases. Did you hear that? As pride increases, resistance to sin decreases. Adam and Eve. God blessed them, didn't he? Put them in the garden. To dress it and to keep it. And here comes the serpent. See, the devil is a deceiver. Isn't that right? He's a deceiver. Here come the devil and begin to talk to Eve. Has God said? Hallelujah. The devil twists the scripture many times just enough to deceive. Let's look at that in Genesis. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 3, right? Yes, Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen to what the word of God says. All right, drop right there. See what the serpent said to him? to the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Uh-huh. Amen. God had told you we cannot eat the now the tree of knowledge and good the tree of knowledge and good and evil, they weren't supposed to eat of that tree. And God gave them instruction not to eat of that tree, all right? Amen. But God told them, the day you eat, thou shalt surely die. Amen. Wasn't that plain enough? The day you eat, you'll surely die. But that's where the flesh is. If God say don't do something, like that's what we want to do. Isn't that right? We want to try it out. Isn't that right? The flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So therefore, the Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Isn't that right? We got to keep that flesh. Lest at any time I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we got this old flesh thing. Well, how do you keep the flesh under subjection? By obeying the spirit of God. Isn't that right? By yielding to the Spirit of God, by praying and trusting God, doing God's will. That's how you keep that flesh under subjection. Amen. Hallelujah. But the devil, the serpent, he deceived Eve. In other words, let's read a little bit more there. He deceived her. You're not going to surely die. Isn't that something? He twisted God's word. You, thou shalt not surely die. But what are you going to do then? Tell me you're not going to surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. Read. What else?
For God doth know it, and in the day he eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and
you
shall be as God.
Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. She got deceived. And the woman took of the fruit that she did eat, and gave it to her husband, which was with her. See, God held Adam responsible because God gave Adam the command, didn't he? He was right there with his wife when she ate that fruit. Instead of him standing up and saying, no, God said, don't do it, and we're not going to do it. He wasn't manned enough, didn't have enough backbone, didn't have enough stamina, didn't have enough grit. Didn't have enough gall, hallelujah, to stand up and say, no, God said we're not going to do it, and we're not going to do it. But she ate, and he ate too. My. Got in trouble, didn't it? They were driven out of the garden because of their hard-headedness, because of their disbelief. They didn't believe God. See, God knows what he's doing. They didn't believe God. They thought God was trying to keep something from them or hide something from them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And they got in trouble with God. Saints of God, when we know God's will, let's do it. God wants us to do his will, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Pride. Listen to this now. Pride always divides and separates. It never multiplied or add goodness or blessings. Amen? When you see pride, this is what pride says. I want my way and not God's way. That's what pride says. It says, I want to live my life without God or his word. My. Pride cannot stay hidden long. Wrong motives and wrong attitudes will show up quickly, especially when we are set on doing our will and not obeying God. Isn't that right? And see, God will instruct us if we let him. Remember that each of us will face the temptation to be prideful. Isn't that right? We all face the temptation of being prideful. Therefore, we must view it as an opportunity for victory and obedience to Christ. If we did that, we'd come out better, wouldn't we? We really would. If we viewed that as victory and an opportunity to please God, hallelujah, God would bless us and God would help us. Yes. And God know what to do to humble us, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He know what to do to humble us. Humility before God is a sure way to dethrone pride and sin. Humility. To humble yourself. To deny yourself. Amen. That would dethrone pride. Isn't that right? You can't be humble and proud at the same time, can you? I mean, you got to do one. I mean, and God tells us the one to do, doesn't he? Amen. Humble yourself at the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. But when it's due time, he knows. Isn't that right? Amen. He knows when due time is. He said, well, Lord, I've been doing this for a long time. Lord, I've been down here praying for a long time. But keep on praying and keep waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't make no mistakes. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to follow God, follow him. Amen. And we follow him by what? Being obedient to him. Being obedient to his voice. And he said, hallelujah, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Amen. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we let God take control, the Apostle Paul said, it's no more I what? But Christ that liveth within me. And that's what God wants. See, God wants, hallelujah. When the Lord look at us, he wants to see Jesus shining through us, doesn't he? Let the light, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. To glorify God. Hallelujah. Men and women that have stood the test of time, that believed God, trusted God, hallelujah, believed him and obeyed his voice like Deacon Stevens. He was a deacon, but he believed God, didn't he? Hallelujah, he believed God. He was a deacon, but he sure preached, didn't he? Better believe he preached that word. Hallelujah. And he preached the word, and they was right on him with them stones. And you know what he said to them? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Isn't that something? He told them the truth. And the truth will make you free. Isn't that right? The truth. He told them the truth. My God, and they looked upon him, my God, and they had those stones. Hallelujah. But he didn't back down. Why? He knew the Lord. He knew God, didn't he? And Stephen looked up. My God. They were stoning. He looked up into heaven. And he said, he saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus stood up for him. Why? Because he wouldn't let down. Jesus stood up for Stephen's. Thank God. And the Lord hallelujah took him on home, didn't he? And it's a good way to go home. I mean, you know, whatever. He was stoned to death. Not. I don't want to be stoned, you know. None of us want to be stoned, but we want to live for God. Whatever way God take us, it's good, isn't it? It's good. I'm saying it's good because whatever God does is good. And we might not, sometimes we can't see, you know, but God knows. If we can just put God in front and we follow, that's the thing. We follow him. Follow him. In our prayer time, we need to acknowledge the fact that we, apart from Jesus Christ, when we do this, we can't do nothing apart from him. When we do this, God's power will be ours on all fronts. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. God's power be out on all fronts. So, pride is a bad thing. Amen. Humility is what God is calling for. Isn't that right? God's calling for humility. God is calling for obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that right? To obey God is what he's calling for. He wants us to obey him tonight. He wants us to deny ourselves and yield our vessels to him. And continue. The Bible said, but if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So we've got something to do. Isn't that right? To continue in the word of God. To be faithful to him. To be true to him. Hallelujah. And we need to pray. As Pastor Venable was saying this morning, we need to pray like the apostles prayed. Remember when they threatened them? And they went in and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. They're threatening us, Lord. Behold, you see their threatenings, Lord. And they said, Lord, stretch forth your hand. Hallelujah. They prayed, and the place where they was shaken. You know, I want to see that power again. Don't y'all want to see that? We want to see. And see, God, he wanted to show it to us. But as Pastor Venable said, we need to get in our prayer closets. We need to get in our prayer closets and cry out to God daily, saints of God. I mean, well, of course, a lot of us work. A lot of you work. I'm retired now. But a lot of you work, but we still can pray on our jobs. Okay? You better believe we can pray on our job. Thank God. We can pray. Regardless of what kind of job you do, you still can pray. Can't you? Amen. Can you pray on your job? You pray on your job? You better believe it. We can pray. Prayer. Thank God. We need to pray, saints. So this is what I'm ending with. I'm going to talk about prayer just a little bit. Prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Apostle Paul said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Isn't that what he said? Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer. Thank God. Effectual prayer. Hallelujah. Effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So God wants us to pray and talk to him. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Crying out for others. Crying out for the souls. And crying out for our nation. Boy, I tell you, we need to pray, don't we? Amen. We got so much to pray about that we ain't got no, we shouldn't have no time to we do a lot of fussing and fighting because we got too much praying to do, have we? You better believe it. I know we're going to have tests and trials, and we have at our house, we have tests, we have trials, but we pray and trust God, you know, to bring us out, and he does, but it's not always easy. Not in my house, though. It's not always easy. What about yours? I mean, is everything on the flower bed to be at your house all the time? No. Mm-mm. Sometimes, I mean, you're going to have some trial, some hallelujah. Devil try to come in and do things that's not right. But we got to have a vision, the Holy Ghost vision. We got to be able to have discernment. Isn't that right? We got to, hallelujah, be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong. But isn't that right? A true Christian does have discernment. Be able to know what's right, know what's wrong, and follow that which is right, and cast aside that which is wrong. Hallelujah. Because God is calling us to holiness. God is calling us, thank God, to do his will. Because we're living in the last of the last days, and we don't have no time to play around. Souls are being lost. Souls are dying daily. So let's do our part as we come in contact with people that need God. Let's make sure that we witness to them. Isn't that right? Make sure we witness to them. I mean, we don't always, you don't have to always do a lot of talking. When you work around people, live the life. That's the main thing. Live the life. Isn't that right? Live the life. Amen. Live a holy life. And then if you have opportunity to speak, let God speak through you. Yield your best to the Lord. and we'll see God's will done. You got a song, brother? We'll see God's will done. And that's what we want, isn't it?